This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Now, here's our host, the president of the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to Washington Watch, your source for what's really happening in our nation's capital. Coming up on this weekend edition, the House Energy and Commerce Committee held a hearing into the failure of the Obamacare rollout this past week with Secretary of Health and Human Services Kathleen Sebelius. Committee Chairman Fred Upton joins us later. And California parents are working hard to beat the deadline to gather enough signatures to repeal AB 1266, a law that puts every child at risk. Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, brings us up to date. Also this week is My Hope with Dr. Billy Graham. Ken Barron will join us for that discussion. Let me encourage you to go to the website, tonyperkins.com. More resources available there for all of the topics that we cover today. Also, you can sign up for my daily update, which comes out from Washington, D.C., dealing with issues that pertain to faith, family, and freedom. Well, earlier this week, it was a real honor to have one of our Watchmen on the Wall council members open the House of Representatives in prayer. Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in California, joined me to talk about his experience on the House floor and to give us an update on his efforts to block AB 1266, the transgender bill in the state of California. Here's my interview with Pastor Jack Hibbs. Pastor Jack, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thank you very much.
Well, let me just start with this. Pretty neat to see one of our Watchmen pastors opening the House of Representatives in prayer, praying a real prayer over our nation and over those who guide our nation. Tell our listeners a little about how this opportunity came about.
Yes. Congressman Miller from our area here in California attends our church, a good man of God. In fact, Tony, he scores about 100% on the FRC scale. As you look at the voting records of these participants, in this case, he is a great brother. And so he.
Well, if he listens to your preaching, Pastor Jack, I would assume that he would score 100% on the FRC scorecard.
He is a faithful brother. Tony, I can tell you that he does not miss a Sunday. He makes that transition to Southern California every week. And so, yes, sir, he opened up that opportunity, and I was honored today to be part of that. And, you know, you're pretty much limited to about 150 words, and so I really wanted it to count. And
that's hard for a pastor, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Tony, and I proved that it can be done. It's a miracle today. But very, very honored, and what a warm reception that we had there. And it was nice to meet a lot of brothers and sisters after the prayer who came up. Congressmen expressed their appreciation. So it was encouraging.
Well, Pastor Jack, let's talk a little bit about one of your latest efforts there in the state of California, something that probably 10 years ago when we first met, we never thought we'd even have to deal with.
Right.
And that is AB 1266, which was signed by the governor this past summer. And now there's an effort underway that you're helping lead that would repeal this through taking it to the voters of the state of California. Where does that start? First, for our listeners, and I don't think we can explain it enough because most don't believe it when you tell them exactly what it is, what does AB 1266 do?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be hard for your listeners to wrap their heart or brain around this. AB 1266 was a bill, as you just said, Governor Jerry Brown signed into law just this last August without the California voters' knowledge. He kept it under the radar, and once you hear about it, you'll see why. But what it does, and by the way, it is law unless we stop it. It goes into effect on January 1st unless we get 505,000 signatures. It is a law that addresses less than 2%, by the way, that's an assumed number, less than 2% of the California public school child's concern, meaning that they have or they've been told that they have an identity or a sex identity or gender identity crisis. So what has happened is this law opens up 100% from K to 12 public school if a child deems it proper for them to perform, listen, self-determination gender identification. Self-determination. They could do it as often as they want in a day or in a month. They don't have to let the principal know. They don't have to let their parents know. They don't have to let their teacher know. They can use the opposite sex bathroom. Now, here's where it gets crazy. Bathroom, locker room, and facilities. We have found out, Tony, that literally means showers for those junior high school age kids, and then sports programs. For example, if you have the men's swim team, a girl can join that swim team and have the exact same access to the showers, exact same access to the bathroom and to the sports program. What has happened is that our governor has stepped in and completely overrode the sovereignty and the sanctity of the parents and of, you know, the environment of our public school system in California. It's catastrophic. And Tony, since you and I last talked, I have been very impressed with how much support we've gotten from law enforcement personnel, especially those who are involved in sex crime investigations. They are absolutely 100% opposed to this scenario. And most recently, Tony, in fact, it was just this last Saturday where I had an investigator tell me that they have already been trying to figure out what's going to happen when they get a phone call to go to a school where a school teacher has tried to talk a young boy out of that situation should he be aroused. This is what they're having to deal with now in the public school system. We've got to stop this.
That's just, it's incredible. I was actually in California, as you know, this past weekend, Friday and Saturday. I spoke out in Lancaster. In fact, I had a dinner Friday night where I was speaking. I sat next to Senator Steve Knight, who represents the 21st District of California, and he was describing this. In fact, his father was behind Prop 22 a number of years ago that provided the statutory definition of marriage. But he was just telling me it's bizarre what they're doing with this legislation. Now, how have the proponents of this countered the criticism of what you just laid out? Have they tried to refute that in any way, that this would open up locker rooms and showers and stuff? Have they tried to even address it, or are they just ignoring it?
I have to tell you, the blatant pushback has been very minimal. A lot of name-calling, things like that. But, Tony, to answer your question, check this out. Try this on for size. The San Francisco School District views this new law of Governor Brown's as being too extreme. That's how bad it is. That's how crazy this is. They require in San Francisco School District 1 year of child psychology classes to be applied to the child who's gender confused.
That says something. If the home of Nancy Pelosi says that this is too extreme when it comes to the left's agenda, then that really says something.
Yes, sir.
Well, I know that from just my conversations while I was out there in California, that parents are very concerned about this, and rightfully so, that their children could, there's not just the physical abuse or sexual abuse or assaults that could take place, which obviously concern law enforcement, but there's the emotional aspects of this as well that could be playing out. Now, you have you're coming up very close to the deadline of which you have to meet the deadline for the signatures. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, let me say that we have seen the groundswell support for this repeal a referendum like no other in our state, and that includes even the Prop 8 effort. Tony, once somebody hears what it's all about, they sign the petition on the spot. And here's where we're at as of now. Knowing I was going to go on the air with you, I got some data from our people. Here's where we're at. We started out with 50 churches. Today, we have 614 churches that have signed on. We have gotten even supporters from outside the state of California saying that they'll do matching dollar amounts to get the signature gatherers. We've never seen this kind of support before. I've been told that we are somewhere around approaching 360,000 signatures that have come in. Granted, we are down to the last few days, but the momentum is really picking up. It's all about information. If people go to the website, privacyforallstudents.com, privacyforallstudents.com, they can read about it. They can even, listen, if they're a California registered voter, they could even sign the petition online and then send that in as a PDF. You could print it out, sign it, and mail it in. So it has gone extremely well. We've learned a lot, but we've got a few days left. We've got to push hard.
All right, Pastor Jack Hibbs, thanks so much for your leadership, and again, congratulations today on opening the House of Representatives in prayer.
Thank you, Tony.
Again, that was Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in California. Find out more how you can help with the effort to repeal AB 1266. Go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over to Pastor Jack's website and help them out, especially if you live in California. But don't forget, this is not just about California. What happens in California, unfortunately, doesn't stay there. When we come back, Committee Chairman Fred Upton joins us to talk about HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius' testimony before his committee this week. Don't go away. We're coming right back with more of this weekend edition of Washington Watch right after this.
In an era of plenty, why is there so much poverty in our world? In a new FRC issue brief, FRC Senior Vice President Rob Swartzwelder discusses how some environmentalists are preventing the developing world from producing the food it needs, not just to survive, but thrive. Rob's new study makes clear that God has given us a world with abundant resources and capacity for innovation, if only we'll use them wisely. Visit www.frc.org to read or download Hunger, Plenty, and Population.
Welcome back to this weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, at the end of this week, the Obama administration called in the private sector specialist to diagnose and operate on their health insurance exchange website that, well, frankly, is on political life support. Well, based upon the testimony of the Obamacare chief, Kathleen Sebelius, will this be enough? You know, one area of grave concern is the security of the information, the personal information that Americans are putting into the system. Congressman Fred Upton, chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, joined us on Thursday to talk about it. Here's the interview with Congressman Upton. This was a pretty important hearing that you oversaw yesterday. And the first question I have to ask you, what was the main thing that you learned yesterday? What was the takeaway from yesterday's hearing?
Well, actually, there's a whole number of different issues. You know, the websites, which have been down much of the last couple of weeks, don't know what the status of it was today, but I know that it was down again yesterday. This is an easy step, right? Getting people to sign up. What happens when that individual goes to the hospital or the doctor in come January and the system crashes then? How are they going to get paid? How are they going to want to take people that are signed up for these exchanges? Lots of questions there. And then, of course, and there's been a lot of stories on this. So remember, the president, if he's known for one thing, just like, you know, I worked for President Reagan, his probably most famous quote was, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." For Mr. Obama, it's been, if you like your health insurance, you can keep it. In fact, even last month he said, if you like it, do nothing, you can keep it. Well, for millions of Americans who had individual policies, because of a change in the regulations, they're now being told that they're without their insurance, forcing them to, you know, get onto this broken website, many of them finding that their premiums are going up by as much as 100, even 400%, and the deductible is going up in the thousands of dollars. I introduced legislation earlier this week, co-sponsored by every Republican on the Energy and Commerce Committee, that says if you had an individual policy that was effective last January, that's good enough today. You can have that. You don't have to worry about this for at least another year.
Well, that would be consistent with what the president promised.
Well, that's right. And I got to tell you, in my discussions with our leadership, Speaker Boehner, Majority Leader Cantor, by showing that we have a solid support for this, and again, I introduced it just Monday, nearly 100 co-sponsors now. It's H.R. 3350, if anybody wants to look it up on a website, H.R. 3350. See if you're a member of Congress as a co-sponsor, but if we can show we've got broad support here, I'm trying to encourage our leadership to really fast-pace this legislation, and let's get it on the House floor even before Thanksgiving, not very far away.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. I'm joined by Congressman Fred Upton. He's the chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. We're talking about yesterday's hearing with Kathleen Sebelius and the follow-up to this. I just saw a report before stepping into the studio that CNN is reporting that three states in particular will have all of their individual policies wiped out, those plans in Virginia, Kentucky, and Idaho. So the number of people who are going to lose their health care plans, who were hoping to hold on to them, that number is going to grow significantly, I think, over the next 2 months as we move into January.
Well, you know, the point was made. Mike Pompeo, not afraid to show a couple of these names, a great guy from Kansas, he's on our committee, Republican. Mm-hmm. He recalled the Secretary Sebelius that she was once the insurance commissioner in Kansas, and if the very policies that she helped govern when she was there before she was governor were good enough for Kansans then, why can't they be good enough for people now? Why did they have to change the regulations and deny literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, policies that they like. That
Absolutely.
Was a promise.
Absolutely. Fred, let me go back to one point that you made, which I think is very important and is oftentimes getting lost in this discussion, because a lot of the focus is on the website, the fact that, you know, it doesn't, you know, hasn't worked as they've rolled it out. But is this not just a reflective of the effort to take over 1/6 of the economy? If they can't get a website right, how do we know that they're going to actually get the delivery of health care right when it comes to making sure your doctors get paid and that you're able to see a doctor and get the right procedure?
Well, you're right on the mark. You can't. And that's why we said this is the easy part. You know, I got to tell you, I like Domino's Pizza. And Domino's has a deal that, you know, they, frankly, I think they take more online orders than folks coming in person or on the phone. If they can't deliver that product, they're out of business. This is the easy part, signing up for it. And the harder part's coming. And if they can't do this first part right, good grief. And, you know, they've had 3 years. They spent, by their own admission, hundreds of millions of dollars, and who knows how much it's going to take to try and get this thing up, you know, up and running at the end of the day, and, you know, how many days more is that? If they can't do this right, how does the rest of it fit? Does it?
You're right. But you know what, Fred, that brings up another point about how the private sector can deliver where the government cannot. And that's why we like our health care being within the private sector. In fact, even to fix this website, they're calling in Google and others in the private sector. I mean, this should tell us something. The government shouldn't be in this business.
Well, you're right again. And, you know, the detractor or the I don't say the detractor, but the folks that are trying to compare this with the rollout of the President Bush's prescription drug benefit plan,
mm-hmm.
you got to remember there was a huge difference there. The prescription drug plan is voluntary, not mandatory, and you're not penalized if you don't enroll in it. And people are able to pick and choose from maybe, you know, private plans. You know, in a lot of states, as many as 30 different plans for them to participate in. That's how it ought to work. And not this way, with the mandate and penalties and, again, the broken promise that if you like your health insurance, you can keep it. For millions of folks, that's simply not the case.
You know what? I think the president, those words are going to haunt him for a long time.
Well, we remember him. He said it so often, including, you know, last month in September.
Yeah, absolutely.
I tell you, I'm hearing from a lot of folks, hey, it's a really amazing story and how justifiably angry they are, not only to be, you know, trying to figure out what your health plan is going to be before the end of the year, but then seeing these folks and trying to sign up for it. A lot of TV shows show people that clock is running 30, 40, 50 minutes. Who's got time for that?
You're right. You're right. Congressman, thanks so much for being with us. Fred, I appreciate it. We're out of time, but I'm sure we'll be checking back in with you.
I look forward to it, Tony. Good luck to you. God bless.
Again, that was Congressman Fred Upton of Michigan, who chairs the House Energy and Commerce Committee. To find out more about what you can do, go to TonyPerkins.com and you can follow the links over. When we come back from this break, we'll hear more about My Hope America, an event being put on by the Billy Graham Crusade with the Chief of Staff, Ken Barron. When we come back, don't go away. We're coming right back after this.
This year marks 40 years since the Supreme Court declared abortion a, quote, right to privacy. FRC's new booklet, 40 Years After Roe v. Wade, commemorates this loss of life. It also tells the inspiring stories of six women who are fighting to protect the dignity and opportunity of each unborn child and every mother in need. To find out more about our resources or to order your copy of this publication, visit FRC/OneLife.
Welcome back to Washington Watch, the weekend edition. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us. Again, to find out more about Washington Watch and all of the topics we've covered today, go to TonyPerkins.com. And while you're there, if you've not yet signed up for my daily update and for the alerts that we put out, you can do so right there on the website. Well, My Hope America is an event being put on by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and is a massive effort to reach people across the United States with the gospel of Jesus Christ, following a simple biblical model. My Hope America combines the reach and the excitement of a nationwide media event with the power of personal relationships. On Wednesday, I was joined by Ken Barron, who is the Chief of Staff for the association. Ken, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, it's so good to talk to you again. I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, you doing well, Ken?
I am doing great. We are just so excited about My Hope America with Billy Graham. And the Lord has just been amazing to support us in this whole project. We started about 2 years ago planning this. Franklin Graham, as you know, is the CEO of BGEA, Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, as well as Samaritan's Purse. They come up with this the concept of My Hope after his father had retired, you know, pretty much stepped down, but yet his messages are always current and always it's the same message, different place, different time. And we did this program or produced this program in 57 other countries. And Mr. Graham said, Franklin, this is working so well. Why don't we do it here in the U.S.? Well, it's not so easy in the U.S. because people don't know their neighbors. They don't talk to their neighbors. So it's hard to invite people to their home, as you explained a little earlier, to come over and have dinner or just talk, especially if people know you're a Christian. So we decided, let's take this on. Of course, Franklin gave us marching orders, and we put together a great team of men and women, started working with local churches. We've now got, between the U.S. and Canada, over 28,000 churches that we know have registered, many more that probably are just hearing word of this and getting involved. And we produced three television programs, 30 minutes each, that we started putting two of them out as kind of a teaser to see how people would react. And these are programs of people's testimonies and how they came to know Jesus Christ and Mr. Graham's old preaching. And then we set up home in Mr. Graham's home and started filming him. And what you people will see on November 7th through the 10th, but premiering on the 7th, is Mr. Graham's message to America in his current position at 95 years old from his home in Montreat. And it's just a fabulous, moving program that just will have people, but those who know Mr. Graham will be sobbing from joy to see his message live and in today's world and life. And sharing the gospel. And those who don't know Mr. Graham well will certainly hear the truth and hear what's happening in this country that only God can fix.
You know, it's amazing to me, Ken. I remember I was watching our church is participating in it, and we did a kind of a rollout this past Sunday night as our pastor was giving instructions to the families about inviting neighbors in. And folks, what this is, it's real simple. It's a tool for you to reach out to neighbors. And Ken, I have to confess, as we were sitting there and I began to make the list of people we wanted to invite, you're absolutely right. We don't interface with our neighbors that much anymore. The folks around us, I started thinking, well, you know what, I could invite this neighbor down. So what we've decided to do is we're going to have an event for the entire neighborhood. Probably not going to be able to do it on the 7th because of our schedule, but sometime during the month of November, just invite people over and let them see this powerful message from Billy Graham. And I remember as a kid, you know, 6-7 years old, driving home from driving to church on Sunday nights when his program used to be on regularly on the radio and hearing him preach. And I just think this is a great outreach from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. How many people are you anticipating will hear this message?
Well, gosh, you know, Tony, it grows every day, and we're hearing messages from people who did what your church has done and, in fact, shown the cross to people or shown defining moments, which is one of the other programs, or Lose to Gain. And people can get that, Tony, just so they can see those first two programs online by going to our website, myhopewithbillygraham.org, and they can see that and just pull up all kinds of information and see the first two programs. The trouble that I had, the same thing as you, I don't know my neighbors, live in a nice neighborhood, good neighbors, but I don't know them well enough to invite them over, you know, without them thinking, well, what's up with this? And I saw the first program, Defining Moments. And I sat here in my office where I'm talking to you from now in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I started to sob. And it wasn't about anything but the Holy Spirit just moved me from this program. And it's not an overly religious program. It's telling stories through people's testimonies that said to me, I can show this to anybody, any place. And I've actually pulled defining moments up on my iPhone on the golf course. And I've been hooked up with some guys playing, and I'll show them the very beginning of it, which features a great catch from the Super Bowl by David Tyree. And I just get when he's about to catch the ball, I shut it off and say, if you want to see the rest of this, you've got to go to My Hope, America with Billy Graham, and watch the rest of it. So there's ways to share it, and there's ways to talk to it, but we are expecting at a minimum a quarter of a million people. Now, it's going to be on Fox News on November 7th, on Mr. Graham's birthday, at 10 p.m. During the Hannity Hour. And they're going to have a group discussion afterwards, from what I understand. But we're going to be on Fox News. We're also going to be certainly streaming live from our website. We are going to be on a whole bunch of other local affiliates, as well as all the Christian stations, every single Christian station, and we'll lead off with TBN, Trinity Broadcast, on November 7th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And then it's on Fox Channel at 10 p.m. And then people can look on our website and get listings for the other 120 stations we're on around the country.
Ken, we're about out of time, and I want to, before we depart, I just want to ask you, how's Billy Graham doing?
Mr. Graham's fine. He had a little bout with a cough a couple of weeks ago, so he went to the hospital for a couple of days. They did some tests, and he's just fine. We're looking forward to him celebrating his 95th birthday up in Asheville on November 7th. We're having a big party for him, and a lot of people are coming. So, his 90th birthday, 5 years ago, he told us he'll see us at his 95th, and sure enough, and Franklin tells us that now he's talking about his 100th. So we pray that that the Lord will honor that and keep him around, because he's such a wonderful blessing to have in all of our life.
That was Ken Barron with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. To find out more about My Hope, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. And I do hope that you'll participate and be in prayer for My Hope America. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much for being with us. Again, check out all that we have available for you on our website, TonyPerkins.com. Until next time, remember the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul. When you've done everything you can do to pray, you've prepared, you've taken your stand. He tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, to stand.
Washington Watch Weekly is a donor-supported ministry of the Family Research Council.